Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
A Granit Xhaka-inspired tactical masterclass sets Arsenal up all nice for the weekend. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway. It's Friday, 14th of January. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Russell.
Yeah, welcome to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's Friday, and I can't think of anything I would like to be doing more than sitting here with Luke and Andy chatting to all of you guys.
So nice. Yeah. What a nice thing to say.
Well, it's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while. I think this is the
first
time I've
seen you. It always feels like it's been a while. Yeah. Oh, happy New Year!
Everyone's
HNY, guys.
What's your cut-off? What's your cut-off for that?
Like never. If you see, the first time I see you in a year, you're going to get it.
I can certainly imagine that being the case from experience. I think you have to, if it's someone you haven't seen before, I think you can go up to the end of January.
Really?
I think end of January is a bit much. I mean, okay. Mid-January, fair enough. And we're on the 14th, so yeah.
It's actually quite precise from us.
Friday, do you still get that Friday feeling? I've got a Friday feeling.
Yeah, I'm really happy. Well, I've got a Friday feeling, I think partly because of the games. This is going to be an absolute corker of a weekend.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
It is.
And we've got some Granit Xhaka to talk about, which is, you know, tasty as hell.
It's almost like he planned it.
Couldn't really sleep last night, and I thought it was because of, you know, living with guilt or whatever. But in fact, I think it's just I was so excited about all this.
Is it because you couldn't live? Don't feel like you can live in the same world that tolerates Granit Xhaka's decision making.
Well, as we
must just be a world completely overrun by chaos.
Granit Xhaka's clearly planning a career in martial arts after this. I think
I have a lot of time for Paul Merson's analysis, but I thought him pinning it on Aaron Ramsdale was a bit harsh.
So this is, of course, the first leg of the Carabao Cup second semi-final.
Yeah,
as we know, the other one's all completely wrapped up, but there was some COVID business, and so this is all to play for at the Emirates next week.
Yeah,
because it was 0-0. At Anfield, despite our boy Xhaka getting sent off in the 24th minute.
When all said and done,
that's mad.
It's a great result for Arsenal. Oh, it's a fantastic result. And they looked pretty well drilled when they went down to 10 men, didn't they?
The first thing I did is this morning when I came in is I collared one of our younger production staff who's an Arsenal fan and said, just so you know, with your age, this was what it was like when Arsenal were under George Graham.
Yeah, is that right? When Granit Xhaka was playing.
They were quite undisciplined in some ways. Yeah. You know, there are always a few red cards in there. But they could defend. And back in those days, of course, a 0-0 away was a decent result as well, which it is again, because there are no away goals.
Absolutely.
Although that's always been the case in the League Cup, hasn't it?
So. I really want to, this is unfair, and he's not here to defend himself, but sometimes an opportunity comes up that's so impossible to resist, I just have to, you know, go to with my worst nature and go for it. I listened to the show yesterday on the way in today, which is kind of the way I do things when I'm on the show, just to keep it fresh in my mind. And there was one quote from our resident, one of our resident Arsenal fans, Jim Campbell, who said the following in when asked to preview the game. If Granit Xhaka is fit, that'll be really helpful for us.
And he stands by it. And he stands
kind of
by it.
Kind of weirdly was. Given
it was
that...
because this is the whole thing, a point that's been made actually by quite a lot of people. And I know
by Jim.
By Jim. It's a joke, obviously, but it's also true. Like, they were absolutely getting hammered right until the until Xhaka got sent off. And then they realised, you know, Arteta made some clever decisions and they realised they were going to have to back to the wall.
I don't think the football equivalent of getting a really bad test result from the hospital and then saying, well, at least we know now, is a good thing, is it? It's not a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Dress up as much as you want.
You can react. It's better to know than not know.
But it's better
out than in.
It's better to not have the venereal disease, isn't it? It's better not to have it. Surely. Anyway, I felt like it was just a let. I am personally very much in favour of Granit Xhaka as a concept, as a human being, as a player.
And as his record on red cards, it's just unbeatable. And you've got to put some respect on the man's name. No player in the Premier League has been sent off more times in all competitions since 2016-17 than Granit Xhaka. It's 5 times.
But it feels more, doesn't it?
Because constant.
He is so chaotic. The thing about him is, on his day, he's a great player.
And that day is normally when he's playing for Switzerland.
Yeah, that's true.
But Andy, true. He's also managed to do this. We've seen players over the years do this in the Premier League, right? Over and over again. Every generation has players who get sent off a lot. They're combative. They're battling the midfield. He's done this without ever really coming across as hard, which is also quite interesting.
Despite being called Granit.
Yeah, and he's called Granit. So he's basically quarried rather than born. But he's still not really, doesn't come across as that hard. Now, would he beat me in a fight? Of course he would. Let's not bother with your tweaks about that.
Who wouldn't beat you in a fight who plays in the Premier League? Saka, maybe?
I mean, the thing is, when you meet a football player and you interview them and you see them in person, they are like they're made
they
of
ripple.
Concrete.
Yeah.
So like every single person under the age, between the ages of 18 and 30 could beat me in a fight. Every single person.
Brass? You fight dirty, though, don't you?
Fucking hell.
No, I mean, Brass would, you'd beat a few people in the Premier League in a fight. Anyway, this is not, it's a Friday preview show, guys.
But we need
to talk about a million things.
So the reason I brought Jim,
Yeah,
we did, but and that's how it happens on this show. But the reason I brought Jim into the conversation is because Jim was kind of very sanguine ahead of the game about Granit Xhaka. We know what he is. We've got no other midfield players. As Andy's already touched on, he's occasionally really important for us. And he doesn't seem to be that bothered. And even when it happened on the WhatsApp group, Jim is the representative, or one of the representatives on the Arsenal fans, alongside some production staff. They didn't seem to care. And it was just like, well, it's Granit, he's going to do that, whatever. And I wonder if there are other Arsenal fans that are really immensely frustrated in what is a really interesting opportunity for them to win silverware, particularly after what happened in the FA Cup. And
yes.
There's no chance to win in the Premier League. So it's quite an interesting thing, because if you look at that on its own terms, you go, that is an insanely unprofessional thing to do. Decision-making is absolutely comical, and it's more of the same from him. So contextually, it's also really bad, but then no one seems to give a shit.
No, and I have to say, as a group, they did fantastically well. I mean, it's interesting how Aaron Ramsdale sort of introduced himself as the agent of chaos in the back end of that, wasn't it? I mean, you can talk about experience and all that. He had a real attack of the Joe Harts, didn't he? In the last 15 minutes, that coming out, trying to make stuff happen. It was quite inexplicable. And it looked like the only way that Liverpool would score.
And they absolutely should have scored as well.
It was a combination of backs against the wall from Arsenal, but also that cutting edge that has typified Liverpool in these recent years, not being there. Salah, Mane, basically. But I wonder whether... Whisper this, but I wonder whether Joe Hart's legacy actually lives quite long in the Premier League, English Premier League goalkeepers.
Yeah.
He's very influential. Pickford wants to get the rave on. Ramsdale's always busy. Joe Hart was that first one where you thought, okay, goalkeepers, in my opinion, used to be a little bit more calm.
It's like a misinterpretation of Peter Schmeichel filling the goal.
Yeah.
Isn't it, really? That's what it is.
I never really felt like Peter Schmeichel was an agent of chaos. I kind of felt Peter Schmeichel was a man who just got shit done. And it, but why yeah, sure,
but,
got
but,
his way.
But in an unorthodox, I'm expressing myself kind of way.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I suppose, like, Joe Hart is a slightly illogical conclusion of that line, isn't he?
Another good performance by Ben White, by the way.
So good. So he was the man of the match, and his positional sense throughout, to me, seemed very impressive.
Yeah.
He talked in the sort of three words he said in his post-match. He talked about how it had taken a lot of concentration. And I think that was clear. That's probably, if you're an Arsenal fan, that's probably the exciting thing to have seen, the way that they managed to bond together as a team and everyone did their job.
Yeah, I guess it starts with Lacazette, doesn't it? You know, we've talked about how much they've improved since he's come back into the team. If you're going to defend from the front, he's the absolute perfect striker. That performance does not happen with even a good Aubameyang. At the tip of the team, I don't think.
Good point.
And
that's the point, isn't it? When you're away from home in the first leg of a two-legged semi-final and you get a player sent off early, everyone's job completely changes. Mm. And if you've got players you can slot into that, I mean, it's a lot easier
There was this theory, wasn't it, that it makes it easier for Arsenal. You know, it's like Ricky Ponting having to bat all day at Old Trafford in 2005 on day five of the third test. But it's not like that because it's Arsenal. so for them to be able to do that is still a notable achievement, more than notable achievement.
And look, they've got a real chance now.
Yeah,
they've got
for sure.
a real chance now. With Liverpool with the players they've got missing, home in the second leg, they've been okay in cups under Arteta. We know that. And you know, they've obviously won a cup, so maybe more than okay. They've got
it
a real chance.
It would be the most
now.
Arsenal thing ever to get to the final and lose to Chelsea in heartbreaking fashion, wouldn't it?
If they get to the final against Chelsea, I'll tell you now, they'll lose the game.
Yeah.
That would be something that will happen.
Yes.
That's absolutely right. About you've mentioned already about obviously Sadio Mane and Mo Salah are missing from the Liverpool squad. So Liverpool had 17 attempts, just one on target. The most notable attempts, that Minamino chance where it's a shame actually because he played pretty well, but oh dear.
he's just not Mo Salah, is he?
Well, I don't think you need to be Mo Salah to score when there's no goalkeeper and you're up.
With the right foot, maybe. I don't know, I just felt like I've been looking forward for a while that, and I realise Liverpool do have something to deal with no Mane and no Salah, but I've been looking forward to seeing how Jota and Firmino connect, and there was just no interaction between them at all.
It wasn't a great night at the office for those two.
So, you know, they need a little bit more from them, don't they?
Just a question for you guys I wanted to ask. You talked about Xhaka's red card record and no one having more than him since he's been
joined
here.
Yeah.
Arsenal have got the most red cards since Arteta joined Arsenal. Arsenal have got the most red cards of any Premier League team, and it's not even close. I think they've got 13, and the next most red cards from a team, I can't remember who it is, they've got 7.
Well, Arsenal wants an identity,
but do you think there's anything in that, though?
Yeah, I think there is, because like most of those red cards don't seem to be like hideously violent or cynical acts. It just seems to be harebrained moments.
Harebrained. I love that phrase. Harebrained.
I'm literally thinking.
You come in here in a pair of brogues and you start calling other people harebrained. I love it.
I'm literally thinking of Dr. Emmett Brown at the moment.
Kate just headbutted her mic.
I was trying to look. You look lovely.
Yeah, you do look great.
Sorry, yes.
Mate, you see, this exemplifies, you know, sensible decision making.
Yeah, it does.
I would like to think.
Kick anybody in the midriff.
He looks like
I would get picked for Arsenal. You would not catch me going in two footed round the back of someone on the centre circle like Gabriel.
No, you look like, you are today, you look like an expert witness in the area of psychiatry. Get your glasses on.
It's true. I don't know. Were you referencing? So, Arsenal have been linked to the loan deal for Artur. So,
nice. Speaking of harebrained,
into that whole new culture.
What the thing is, you saw him play in the flesh.
Incredible.
At Wembley
messy game.
Together,
I was saying very high up. I found that quite cool at Wembley for that game. Are we talking about the Tottenham game?
Messy.
And it was quite cool because you could get more of a sense of, I mean, I was far away, so some of the time it's quite hard to tell exactly what's going on, but you could get more of a sense of the like positions and the perspective on the game.
It's like the Camp Nou position, isn't it, basically?
What we were saying earlier, that was a game famously where Messi was incredible. It was the most amazing individual performance I think I've seen.
And at that point, Artur looked like a genuine successor to Xavi.
I still remember Artur being brilliant. So that tells you everything you need to know, really. He's definitely capable.
It tells you he's done absolutely nothing since as well.
Right, okay.
Apart from enjoy some nights out in both Barcelona and Turin. Better ones out in Barcelona than Turin, I would have thought.
And a full stop there, please, Kate, if you don't mind.
Yes. Someone else.
Not probably, a comma. Probably, a full stop.
Probably
there,
Arsenal
please.
Won't be linked with Laurent Koscielny coming back. Apparently, he's going to be sold from Bordeaux. You remember his exit video, will you? Where he took off his shirt to reveal the Bordeaux. Loose cannon. Apparently, he's been exiled. Yeah. Maybe he had a shirt on underneath the Bordeaux shirt.
I think it was Jimmy once said, a chicken in a dinosaur suit in a man suit. that's Jim's line, not mine.
Liverpool host Brentford on Sunday. Is that like one of those, you know, like a three bird dish for Christmas?
Yeah, like a turducken.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Or as they call it in their marketing, a three bird dish for Christmas. Much snappier. I think we can all agree.
Tell Henry VIII. Liverpool host Brentford on Sunday, so they need a win there to stay in the hunt.
But I know you won't do a quick line on that, but I was just going to say that, you know, you look at that, if you're Thomas Frank's a really kind of thoughtful manager, you look at that Liverpool performance last night, you see players missing, you probably think, do you know what? We fancy this.
Klopp didn't seem very positive about it after the game, did he? He seemed, oh God, they're going to play five at the back as well.
Why
must you thwart me? Do you not know this is my destiny? Yeah, the first instalment was Arsenal pretty much in control back in September.
It was a dark period for Spurs, let's be fair.
A 3-1 win, yeah, because it also came off the back of, I think I'm right in saying, Spurs were good at the start of the season and Arsenal were bad and then switched over.
For three games.
All right.
Spurs were top after three, weren't they?
Give it to me. Well, anyway.
Had a more Clement fixture list?
I think the headline actually for this game is that if Tottenham win it, they leapfrog Arsenal in the table and they've got a game in hand.
There you go, that's the way to look at it.
Despite the fact that Antonio Conte already seems to be having some sort of, you know, chat with his own destiny.
Oh yeah,
look, Conte without anger,
it's like Green
is,
Goblin in Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think Conte without anger is like, you know, sort of Westwood without baggy trousers.
Can I just say there will be people out there who get that Green Goblin reference. I appreciate none of them are in this studio right now, but that will go down well among certain sections of our audience. I want to make that absolutely clear.
It'll go well amongst my son, I think, because he's watching another Spider-Man.
Much. I think you should provide
footnotes to all of your gags.
So my approach, yeah, maybe. You're not the first person to say that, actually. You know, like, as far as I know, and I don't know very much, like, the absolute forefront of scientific discovery and endeavour is this idea of antimatter, right?
Right.
Every kind of bit of antimatter is, you know, the equal and opposite to matter. And, you know, large parts of the universe are made up of antimatter and people don't really understand it. On Sunday, if you want a good metaphor for that, it's going to be an example of anti-midfield because Arsenal have got none and Spurs have arguably got none, depending on who plays, capable of doing it at the level they want them to do. And the fact, I could not be happier this morning when I woke up and found that apparently Ben White might play in midfield because it reminded me of that scene in the film Gladiator. Bear with me, Kate.
I've seen Gladiator.
Where Marcus Aurelius says to Russell Crowe's character, Maximus, Decimus Meridius, he says, I want you to be the Emperor of Rome. And Russell Crowe's character says, well, I've never had any aspirations in politics. And then the Emperor says, and that is why it must be you.
Yes.
Because you don't want to do it, so therefore you'll be brilliant at it.
Ben White doesn't even really like football, as we discussed.
He doesn't want to do any of it. That's why he's going to be great at it.
So, yeah.
It's going to be man of the match stuff. He will start England's first game in the World Cup in midfield based on, and the story, the seed that will grow into an amazing tree will be on Sunday afternoon.
I like it.
And if he doesn't play, I'll be fucking pissed off.
He will. I mean, he surely will play unless he's picked up something off of that performance. Yeah.
I'll be
last
at that game.
Night.
So will you, right?
No.
No, you won't be. Okay, I will be.
So I guess it puts Conte's talk about Tanguy and Ndombele into a different context. You know that press conference a couple of weeks back where he was asked about him and he just kept going, he is a midfielder.
Yeah.
He is a midfielder. Now that feels like a flex, doesn't it?
It does a bit.
Like, we've got a midfielder.
Yeah, and it does a little bit. And it's also, you think to yourself, that sounds quite passive-aggressive, quite sinister, but then you remember that Antonio Conte is happily to say he'd rather kill his players on TV than do something else. So it's going to be a really interesting game, chiefly because what you said, Kate, around the idea that they could Spurs could leapfrog Arsenal. And I'm sorry to keep saying this because it's probably one of the most boring and cliched narratives of this season so far. But this fourth place idea is clearly really open to a team who can
you know, occupy it and dominate it. And this is going to be a large part of that conversation.
And it's and it'll be better for the race if neither of them can find that sort of consistency between now and the end of the season.
Will be.
Based on what we've seen in midweek, you'd surely think that Arsenal ought to batter Tottenham based on the performance, the relative
you
performances.
You think, because to me it looked like they could barely stay awake. After that game.
Arsenal,
they were exhausted.
But I think in terms of narrative, if you're talking about narrative, you know, yeah, if that Minamino, you know, you've got Ben White laughing in the face of Takumi Minamino as he skies it, you know, that moment could have been really deflating and like,
it's true. So you think they would have taken a lot of confidence from being able to do
that? So you're going with momentum rather than science. Always follow the science, Kate. Come on.
Just listen, here's a little tip for you.
Yes.
Say whatever you want. Mm-hmm. If it comes out well, for the following few weeks, really lord it up.
But
if you get it completely wrong, fucking pretend it never happened. Congratulations. That's what every single broadcaster in fucking football history has ever done.
And it is, of course, the January transfer window at the moment. So Conte says, the resolution of our problems is to work and improve many aspects of our squad. I repeat, there is a big job to do. If you think that buying one or two players will solve the situation, you are not right. 5 wins and 3 draws from his first 8 league games. But true, Tottenham did look terrible against Chelsea. There are quite a lot of people missing, including Son, probably Romero, Eric Dier. You see, you didn't know what you had until it wasn't there. And Steven Bergwijn.
Can I say something? I know you want to move on, but let me just say something slightly controversial, just very, very briefly. So you guys don't have a right to reply. We're talking about fourth with Spurs. If Conte can carry on going the way he's gone. The record's been very good in the Premier League. It's been very good. Now, I know they've got a lot of shortcomings. I know they want to strengthen, and I know there's this existential question around whether they back Conte or not. I don't think it's outrageous to say that if they can avenge that thing in the semi-final against Chelsea, because they play them at Stamford Bridge at the end of this month, their fixture list for the rest of the season isn't that bad. I mean, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
could they even get third?
Stop it.
Is all I'm saying.
Look, I think the most likely scenario is that
that
Conte, despite looking
like
the
question. Just asking the question.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, it doesn't really matter if they make third or fourth, really, does it? If they were to make the top four, that would be incredible. And bear in mind that it looked incredibly unlikely and a difficult job even for Conte when he came in. So I think the most likely scenario is that he gets them into fourth, deserves all the transfer backing.
Doesn't get it. Fucks off.
Leaves, yeah. I would say, third week of July, first week of August, and leaves Tottenham in total chaos.
I can see that happening. Next season. Far more likely than what I said.
I can't wait.
Far more likely.
I cannot wait.
That's what keeps bringing you back, isn't it?
Living the dream. Well, Jamie O'Hara agrees with you, Andy Russell, so, you know, you're speaking sense.
There we go.
There's another big derby coming up at the weekend. In fact, it's coming up tonight.
Yeah.
Friday at 8 o'clock, Brighton hosting Crystal Palace. Quite excited about this one, actually. I really enjoyed watching Michael Olise play in the FA Cup against...
He was great, wasn't he?
Scored a great goal. Yeah. But Patrick Vieira is trying to play that down. We don't want to be too eager.
We can, yeah, of course he's going to do that. I know we can't... I mean, Jules isn't here, so she can't hammer us for saying this. Mm. Crystal Palace has got great vibes about him. Exciting young players come through.
It's
completely changed the profile of their team since Vieira's come along. I think they're really interesting to watch because Conor Gallagher is one of the most exciting players to watch in the Premier League. He's just so classy. It's a Friday night treat tonight. I love it when there's a game on a Friday night. It's a great way to start the weekend. It's even better when it's a derby game.
I don't want to see Brighton and Palace in daylight. Brighton and Palace. Brighton and Palace is meant to be played under the lights.
With a sex on the beach.
She would be pissed off if I didn't mention the fact that Brighton are actually ninth in the table and Palace are 12th, and Brighton have played, they've got a game in hand.
And also that Neil Mopay is the perfect derby villain. He's like the Trey Young of the Premier League, basically.
He equalised in the like millionth minute in the first leg, didn't he?
Oh, but it's just the chip as well, isn't it, that comes with it.
It was actually the millionth minute as well. Everyone was knackered. No one could even stand up by
just
that point.
Just to be clear, yeah. I think it's time to get to a break. Do you chaps agree, or do you feel like he needs to stretch out a bit more?
Let's be honest.
You got any more controversial takes about Tottenham finishing third?
You're going to do it anyway, aren't you? Whatever happens, you're going to break anyway, so I suggest you just get on with it, Mason.
Oh, I see. We're all in this together.
I'll give you a controversial take in the break. How about that?
Oh, can't wait.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot,
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
...2021 was a year like no other in European football.
And 2022 promises to be even more eventful.
On the Continent is your weekly guide to all the biggest stories across Europe.
But what was highlighted again in this game against Malmo was just how desperately that team needs something different up front. Alvaro Morata is not right now the number nine they need, and I don't think Moise Kean is either.
We're joined by the best European football experts to get to the bottom of the stories at the top of your newsfeed.
I think Real Madrid is a very logical place for him to go, and if you want that to be an option, it's not a bad idea to make Real Madrid think that you might go to Barcelona. From Haaland's side of it, it's very beneficial that Barcelona are at least pretending they can afford him.
Come join us every Thursday on Football Ramble Presents.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Comes all the way across. Townsend. Oh, one more. My, oh my. My sweet grandma's apple pie.
And that's why it shouldn't be allowed to happen. That was my controversial take in the break. Kate, there you go.
Gorgeous. Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. We are still reeling from that, but we have to get
Patreon subscribers only.
We have to get to the emails.
If you've got something for us, showfootballramble.com.
Yeah, we've got one from Jared here. It says, Arsenal appeared to play better with 10 men after Xhaka was sent off against Liverpool. Quite right. Whether that was due to the change of tactics or simply because Xhaka was not on the pitch, I'll let you decide.
Aww.
I think they should start the second leg with 10 on the pitch and try to rattle Liverpool.
Yes!
My under-15s coach always used to start the occasional match with 10 men and leave five players hidden in the changing rooms. to make the opposition think they were going to have an easy match and then lull them into a false sense of security. Around three quarters of the time, we would score first within 10 minutes, at which point our coach would do a big whistle louder than what the ref would produce, presumably one of those fingers in the mouth wolf whistles.
Yeah, they're kind of like, yeah.
Can you do it?
Yeah. One. Go on, go for it.
I can't do it.
Probably be a terrible experience for the listener.
Yeah, anyway. Definitely. And our hidden players would come onto the ground and we would play the rest of the match with 11 and 4 on the bench. Well, no other formation is allowable under the rules, is it, really?
There's a brilliant story, Jared. That's actually Jared Bowen of West Ham who's sent that in. She's having a great week.
It's what he used to get up to.
That's why he's so good
Hull.
Now. Yeah, he used to play with nine other players all the time.
I can imagine that sort of thing happening at Hull.
There's a big undercurrent here, though, of, you know, because when I think back to when I played as a kid, you've got a bloke who's normally the dad of one of the players, or he's got obviously a big interest in football. He fancies himself as a bit of a coach. And then he's got absolutely no one else, no other adult turning what he can and can't do. So these mad, as you, to use your term, harebrained ideas come in all the time. And this kind of thing happens more often than you think.
Why is he leaving like five kids on their own in the dressing room?
I know, well, that's obviously troubling. But I can remember when I played like under 12s or whatever, so I'd be 11 years old, and if another team, if the opposite team player was like mouthy or kicked off, I used to get pulled by the manager and go, right, smash him. You smash him, because I was not the biggest. He didn't even ask me if I wanted to smash him or not. And that's how, it's like Marvel supervillain origin story.
So it's like the equivalent of like when you and your mates go out for the first time and the biggest of you gets nominated to go to the bar.
You?
Yeah, that was me. Yeah.
Were you grey then? Ravenelli? Shirt over his head. I want a pipe.
Shirtfootballramble.com. Tweet us at footballramble with non-illegal stories.
Yes, please.
Well, we can send us your illegal ones, but I guess we can't read them out.
As long as we're not doing the illegality, it's fine.
How about this? Send them in, we'll judge them on their merits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine. Thank you very much. Speaking of which, a massive relegation six-pointer is coming up on Saturday at 3 o'clock. It's Newcastle versus Watford. Newcastle fans were talking about how the Cambridge United game was a big one. Unfortunately, that didn't turn out so well.
What's for Cambridge United? Wasn't it?
Cambridge United's had a wild old time. This is big stuff, because if they can't beat Watford in this, despite what they've done with their hilarious little smash and grab of Chris Wood from Burnley and trying to just weaken all of the sides around them, it could look a bit sticky for Newcastle.
I can't believe this game's not on TV. What are people playing at? Why has this not been selected for TV?
Well, that's unusual.
It's enough to make a man turn to a...
Mate.
But there's a lot of...
They should change the time and put it on telly.
But there's a lot of good games this weekend.
There are.
Having said that. So.
And this, I think, is... As people know, it starts the second half of the Football Ramble previous show on a Friday.
Exactly, that makes it big.
It's big.
The fact that we can't watch this is enough to make a man want to turn to BN Sports.
I thought you were going
to
say...
All of the goals as they go in.
It's enough to make someone go around to Pete Donaldson's house and watch it on whatever feed that he doesn't watch it on.
Pete Donaldson's shed. Correction, it'll be in the shed.
Yeah, slightly less enticing.
You'll get to walk past the house.
Claudio Ranieri says that Watford are too good to go down. If you come to watch the training sessions, we're fantastic.
Yeah, nothing good can ever come of that. Don't ever say that.
That is a claim.
And don't ever do the training sessions line. That's like saying you've got a girlfriend that goes to another school. Yeah, no one cares. But Kate, you, speaking of hot takes, had what I think was a really hot take around Newcastle United, and Andy agreed with you, so I think you should tell the listeners what it is.
Is this about the transfers?
Yes.
I think the transfer policy is excellent so far. Thus far, what they've done with what they've got, because what they could have done is done something mad, like bought Erling Haaland or something.
They couldn't have done that. No, anyway,
you take my
on.
Drift. Done some sort of ludicrous, like, magical signing to make themselves feel good and look semi-good.
They're horses for courses, exactly.
Yes. And that suggests that there's someone who's thinking this through. So the trip signing, again, caveat of the Cambridge United performance generally, but I think he was
it's his first game though. He's in a new club, you know.
Of course, and you would argue that maybe that's not actually the area they needed to strengthen first, but they had been looking for they know that they need to be looking for centre backs, and then in terms of the United game, they were basically stressed, I think, by realising that they didn't have anyone to fucking score goals. Mm. And then someone told them they'd spent £40 million on Joe Linton. So they were like, well, fucking hell, 25 million for this lad, Chris Wood, who scored in double figures every season of the last four seasons while at Burnley.
He's a reliable Premier League goal scorer. Yeah. And this stuff about him, well, he's only scored 3 goals so far this season. If this season turns out like last season, they'll be absolutely golden, because he's a purple patchy sort of player. And he only scored, I think, four in the first half of last season, and then he went on an absolute massive tear and got, I think, 8 goals and a ton of assists in his last 8 games. So
also,
I think the important thing, what you were saying about them being sensible mates, I think is quite right, because what I thought has been the most notable thing, and I guess this is a footnote in terms of them staying up, is footnote in terms of this season, but that they've not whacked them on massive contracts, that both Trippier and Wood are only on 2.5-year contracts. Mm. Now, I'm quite surprised that even for the money they're paying, and of course they will be earning a lot of money, they've got them to come on that sort of basis, because they're not absolutely smashing their future financial flexibility. Because this season and next season, if they're in the Championship, these are just going to be, whichever way it turns out, blots in the ointment of them getting further towards the top, aren't they?
So, yeah. I also think, you know, you said that. I completely agree with you, Mason. You made me think about it, and I think you're absolutely right. And you said, is the right back place the place they need to strengthen? Well, is he a better player than Javi Manquillo? He is. And the thing over and above that I think is really important, something we haven't mentioned here, is that what kind of standards of professionalism is Kieran Trippier bringing to that club? I expect they'll be really fucking high.
Yes.
He's just won the league with Atletico Madrid. He's a seasoned, established, maybe obviously because he's getting a bit older now, but he's a seasoned, experienced international football player. If you look at that team, particularly with what happened under Steve Bruce, of course they need an injection of professionalism and someone to go in and set the standards and go, this is how I do things every day. So a lot of those players can look and go,
that's so important.
That's amazing.
100%, because the thing is, they can't buy 12 new players this window. It's not possible. So what you can do is buy players who are not just going to be good. And then, like you say, Kate, they're never going to cover all the positions that they need to. You know, it is a team that is in need of almost endless improvement. But what they can do is, Luke, you say, they can bring in players who are not only good players, but make the players around them a little bit better.
Yeah.
That is the route towards getting closer to where they want to be.
And they can make the teams around them a little bit worse.
Exactly. That's
Burnley
key.
Yeah, that been too. Linked with, guess who? He's out of contract at Reading. Andy Carroll.
Peter Crouch is going to be my guess. But, yeah.
Well, it's got serious ramifications for Burnley, who, you know, that is a big, I mean, based on what you guys have just said about Chris Wood and his performances and his numbers, which I think are underrated. I mean, it surprised me a little bit, so I'm sure it surprised a lot of people.
I mean, getting 10 goals a season for Burnley is amazing.
Well, getting 10 goals a season in the Premier League is good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're used to kind of talking about the big players and the really truly kind of high up their teams, but that's not always what the Premier League's all about. I think the biggest question mark over Newcastle is the manager. I think, you know, because he's achieved such an incredible amount, but it's all been in such a focused, almost hothouse flower type environment, that's the question mark. If Newcastle win this game and win well, I think it could be a real turning point for them.
Yeah.
But it's a big if.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will find out. People who might want to be inspired by Newcastle's transfer policy, if we all agree it seems to be going okay so far, is the president of Toronto FC, Bill Manning. He says he decided to sign Napoli's Lorenzo Insigne on a £44 million contract by going to Transfermarkt, the website, looking up the Italian national team and what players were coming out of contract. I started writing players down that I thought were good and would have commercial value in this market. Actually, as I've read that, I don't think that's the most terrible idea.
Got to start somewhere.
You would hope that there was a bit more behind all of it, but hey.
I can't.
You can't fault a guy for trying, can
you? I'm not going to be hypocritical about Bill Manning. I go on to Transfermarkt all the time to see when players are out of contract. I just don't do that final step of giving them £44 million, but all the other stuff
to come around and make your tea and like clean your flat and
all
stuff.
All the other stuff I do because I personally think it's interesting.
Lorenzo Insigne could have been getting your laundry and instead he's going to Toronto.
Lorenzo Insigne is one of the most handsome footballers around. So
I don't think he knows how to do laundry.
Is he also very short, Insigne?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's a good cook.
Oh, that sounds like...
He did a lot of cooking during lockdown.
Oh, I thought he cooked for you, mate. I thought this was about to
no,
be some
I couldn't,
sort
I couldn't
of...
afford the £44 million.
No. Now, look, it's one we've got to... Before we get on to the big one, we've got to talk about 1-2 in the Premier League. Manchester City host Chelsea. That is the early kickoff on Saturday. Pep Guardiola set to be back in the dugout because he has, of course, been out with COVID. He's been labelled a genius and the best coach in Premier League history by Tim Sherwood.
That's a weird way of saying his name.
It was just...
It's like it's double-barreled.
Yeah, it makes him sound Spanish or something, doesn't it?
By Tim Sherwood.
I was just contemplating what that might have done for Pep Guardiola's ego as I said it.
Imagine my annoyance when I spent ages Google searching by date for all the things that Tim Sherwood had said about Pep Guardiola, hoping he had changed his tune because he seemed like exactly the kind of pundit who would say when Guardiola came to the Premier League, oh yeah, but you know what I mean? He's whatever, he's Spanish. But he's actually always been quite positive about Guardiola. So it's quite disappointing.
I'm sorry to hear that. All right, so he's just sticking to his guns. Very commanding win in the League Cup semi-final over both legs for Chelsea. But Tuchel didn't seem to think that the second leg had much about it. He says, we were almost punished for our lack of focus.
Tuchel's always complaining though, isn't he?
We played at 90% and that's not our style. We shouldn't do this.
So my take on this is that I think Man City win the Premier League, whatever happens.
Mm.
So I don't know if this game is quite as big a game as it is it perhaps is being billed.
It only is if Chelsea win it, basically.
And exactly my point. So
10 points is the difference.
Yeah. So I mean it's an interesting game because it's 1 versus 2 and because it's, you know, Saturday lunchtime and all that good stuff. City's form is absolutely ridiculous. And they've really, I know other teams have done it as well, and Liverpool deserve the credit because they've won the Premier League, of course, in this era. But really, post-Leicester, as the guys touched on yesterday, City have raised the standards so high. I mean, you see pundits on Sky Sports talking about how you can't go to Spurs away and not get a win now. It looks like a bad result. Whereas actually going away to a big club in the Premier League and getting a draw, you'd take that all day long. The standards have changed. The reality of this now is that City have already won 5 more games than Chelsea in the Premier League this season because their standards are just so high. Mm. And if Chelsea don't win this game, they have absolutely, not zero chance, but a very, very slim chance.
It is interesting.
Well, that's why it's
how,
a big game then.
Yeah, of course.
It is interesting how Guardiola's slowly making the Premier League into La Liga, like by the fact that you have to get 95 points to win it.
Yeah. But Andy, you look at the difference, and the difference is this. You can bracket these 3 teams up as people have done, because Chelsea have won the Champions League, because Liverpool have won the league recently and are brilliant, and because they're Man City and Man City. But actually, it's not really a 3. It's a 1 now. You know, Liverpool lose a couple of players or a few players, important players, to the Africa Cup of Nations. They haven't won a Premier League game in their last 3. Mm. You know, Chelsea have these issues. They've drawn 4 of their last 6 in the Premier League. Man City have won every game in their last 6. You know, so the standards are almost completely different, even just for Man City now.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's...
And City have flexed in the big games as well, which I think is really applicable to this particular game.
So Man City win this game for me.
If you look at the reverse fixture, I mean, that was a performance of authority and then some, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It really was. Absolutely.
Agreed. Riyad Mahrez is away. I'm looking for tiny little holes, but not really feeling them.
Doesn't feel like a loss, really, even though he's a great player.
Jack Grealish, I guess people say that he hasn't contributed anywhere near what was hoped. But what did
people expect?
What did people expect, Brass?
I mean, did they expect him to be Villa Grealish straight away? No. Surely not. Mm. If you think how long it took, I suppose Mahrez is a really good example. It took him that amount of time, didn't it, to go from being the main guy, or the main-ish guy. You can never really be the main guy if you're in a team with Jamie Vardy, can you? The main-ish guy to being that for Manchester City, or finding his role at Manchester City where there is no main guy because everyone's amazing. Yeah. It's difficult.
I think Mahrez also had to go over and above that from what I remember. Mahrez also had to go through the conversations about whether he was actually good enough to contribute to Manchester City.
Yeah, totally.
And so, yeah, it does take a while.
And also, perhaps the information that Emmanuel Petit says that Tuchel's getting nervous at Chelsea and that his body language and behaviour reminds him of the bad days at the end of his PSG reign.
The Brussels Doctrine.
Look, people are going too early. It's not happening yet. I'll tell you when it's happening, everyone. Okay. I'll tell you when it's happening.
You started to intimate last week that it was starting to happen.
Other
people did, because of the Lukaku thing. I think that's a false start. Right.
We'll this is journalism. We say stuff and look at you, and then you have to rebut it.
Yeah.
And if you don't, I think that speaks volumes.
We look at you and you have to do whatever we say.
Interestingly, in the topic of the top 3 finish, by the way, Ronaldo was saying in an interview yesterday that anything less than a top 3 for Manchester United would be a failure.
We'll get used to failure then.
I don't want to fight to be in 5th, 6th or 7th place. Well, I think you might have to.
We will have to. Absolutely, we'll have to.
Big lads. All right, it's time for... Oh, my goodness.
Careful with your vintage Spurs mug there, Kate Mason. It is time for 4 to Score. Entry to Betway's 4 to Score is absolutely free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. It's always the same, guys. Never changes. Always the same. Game number 1 is Aston Villa v Man United, Saturday tea time. A repeat of Monday's FA Cup game. Is it Monday? Feels like it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Good to have it on the telly, though, eh?
It is, absolutely. Of course, always. Andy, you are up. Who are you going for, my
Despite
friend?
That result, I've lost all faith in Manchester United to do anything competently in the Premier League in the short term. So I've gone for Danny Ings get the first goal.
The greatest selections in 4 to Score are the ones that just, by just saying the player's name, suggest a narrative. And that definitely does that. Game number 2 is Liverpool v Brentford. Sunday, 2 o'clock, our friend Marcus has this to say.
Ooh, tricky one. no, not really. Diogo Jota, easy peasy.
Under 5 seconds, Brassel. Make Slick. A note. Make a note. Right, I want to see you write that down. Because your one, some, your one of yours was 44 seconds once. Game number three.
That was me slimming it down.
Value for money. He's giving you value for money.
Very on brand for him as well. West Ham v Leeds, Sunday 2 o'clock. That's mine. And I am going for a player that I thought on yesterday's show was a little bit hard done by how good he was the night before. And that is, of course, Jarrod Bowen. I think he'll score first for West Ham against Leeds. And then on the anchor leg, bringing up the rear, however you want to say it, game number four, Spurs v Arsenal, the big one. We gave it to her on purpose. Kate Mason, who are you going for?
This is the narrative. This is the internal narrative for me. I had to pick an Arsenal player because then I'll feel better if Spurs do actually score. So I've gone for basically my favourite Arsenal player. Are you allowed to have a favourite Arsenal player? I've gone for Bukayo Saka.
Our friend Dan would call that an emotional hedge.
Emotional hedge. Yeah. You've chosen to jinx Arsenal. By picking your favourite Arsenal player.
That's my plan, yeah.
Okay, so that is Danny Ings, Diogo Jota, Jarrod Bowen and Bukayo Saka. If each of those players scores first, we will be in for at least a share of the weekly £50,000 jackpot, which of course we'll give to charity. If you want to play, make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and you can play for free at betway.com/4 to score. Further T's and C's apply, 18 plus and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. All right, time for this. It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
Yep, you're all fucked because it is Kate's game. It is Kate's game. We've got Luke and Andy Brassel facing off. That makes you sound like a couple who are married.
We've had Kate's game. We've had Andy's game. We've had Marcus's game. How do you feel about your game being franchised?
Let me just get this right. So, Kate, you ask us a question, and if me and my husband Andy get the same answer, we get a point, right?
Yeah, that's
okay,
how
good.
It works.
So, you put on the headphones, you go and sit in the corner over there.
I'm up for it. Look, no one expects me to beat Brassel. His record in this game is completely unrivalled. So, if I can get a win here, it's going to be seismic for the Luke's game community.
This is
that's
disgusting.
What I
this is just like Neo Speller of, oh, poor little me. Yeah. I won't be able to do it.
You get to start. It's a man with. One club will presumably spring to mind immediately. He has had four in total. Nice, easy starter. Dennis Irwin.
Oh, okay. Dennis Irwin.
It's not all about what you know. It's about what you think you can pretend you know.
That's not as profound as you as it sounds in your head. I can do two.
Good man.
Yeah, I can only do two, so you go for it.
Okay, so the two I can do is Man United.
Very good.
And I believe he played for Wolves.
He bloody well did.
Very good.
He's off to a flyer and he's got a little patronising. Very good.
Who did you have?
Oldham.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's very good. Yes, that is correct. The first club you could have also got, neither of you would have got it, was Leeds United. So Leeds United, Oldham Athletic, Manchester United, Wolves.
I was thinking it would be a Irish club, and I thought, I don't know which one it'll be, so I won't guess that. But
two was enough.
Right. Yeah,
two was enough.
Was it enough?
Mm-hmm. All right, next up, two I doubt will be enough here. It's a man who's still playing, very much still playing, we could argue. Six clubs for this guy. Andy Brassel, your number for Kyle Walker. Oh, looks like a nerd at the beginning of an exam.
Six clubs?
Yes.
That's surprising.
Six clubs. He's Into
I'll
the
start
paper.
With a little three.
Oh, you bastard.
Sounds like that might be in the slot.
That is right in the slot.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I don't actually know them.
Shut up.
If that encourages you.
Enough. I think we maybe should ban speech.
Controversial new direction for a podcast, yeah.
In this new feature.
That's really annoying.
Fuck, I've counted wrong again.
You have to...
You've got to stick to it.
So look, are you going to take hope from that? I think he's playing. I shouldn't get involved. I was going to say I think he's playing you.
I think I can do four.
Good man. Any more from you, Brasso?
No, I'm going to leave you do four.
Oh, yeah, I can't do four. I thought I'd just bump him up a bit. Okay.
Go.
Manchester City. Spurs. Sheffield United.
Very good.
And then this last one's basically just going to be a guess.
Come on, mate.
I'm going to go for...
The listeners want it. Do it for the listeners.
He's probably gone alone somewhere. I'm just going to go Swindon.
I'm afraid not. Bad luck. 1-1 early doors. I mean, I didn't think the 2-0 would have been unassailable, so, you know.
No, I've been 2-0 up against Marcus and lost before, so that's fine.
In some ways, the pressure is too much. He started out at Sheffield United, but only two appearances there. That would have been a toughie. In the initial phase, he also went back to Sheffield United on loan from Spurs. At Sheffield United, he went on loan to Northampton Town. Then he moved to Tottenham Hotspur. That was when he had his loan back to Sheffield United. He also had a loan to QPR and Aston Villa. Bad luck, mate. All right.
And Man City, obviously.
And Man City.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right. All right, 1-0.
Watertight admin.
All to play.
I feel confident. Yeah.
1-0. I've got the numbers, right? And that's all that matters, isn't it? Okay. Brassal. Next up. So that's two done. The next one is for you.
Yeah, it's me first. Yeah.
Luke Moore.
Yeah.
Ricardo Carvalho, he has 8.
Oh, I've got no chance of Ricardo Carvalho against Brazil, have I?
That is tough, and I feel bad about it,
actually. The man is practically half Portuguese.
I feel bad, but the thing is...
Andy, not Carvalho, he's full Portuguese.
you're still in it, and the great thing about the way this game is structured, not by me, I should probably add, is that, you know, you're still in it, you can't lose at this point.
Yeah.
And if you get to the next one, I think you're right back in it. The next two, I should say, the last two.
I think I'm going to start with 3.
All right, do that.
5.
Fuck
I
off.
I hate it when he does that.
5.
It's so nobbish, isn't
I can't,
it?
I can't do 6. Just give him 5. Great. Go for it.
Give him 5. Go on, do 8.
I think I might have fucked myself.
Come on. Way. Yes, good. That's out the 5.
Interesting.
Yes, good.
Interesting. Right. I'm going to leave the one I'm not sure about until last.
Sensible.
Porto.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea. Real Madrid, Monaco.
And? Oh, you knob. If you get this wrong, you're going to be such a knob.
I'm absolutely loving it if you get this wrong.
Because you didn't need to go to 5.
Alverca.
It's as you boring see, and tedious done, as it is.
What I'd done
you played us.
Is I'd,
played
put,
us.
I'd put down Marseille, and then I realised he was the assistant coach there. And so I thought, I've got to go back and do Alverca.
Sorry, if anyone can hear that, that's the sound of my heart bleeding.
Yeah, save it for your next book, Brassel.
Oh, God, I've got to read them out as well. Right, in order. Porto, Lesser, Porto B doesn't count. Vitória Setúbal, Alverca. Is that how you pronounce it? Beautiful. Chelsea, Real Madrid, Monaco, Shanghai SIPG.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I should have thought about that. For future Luke's game reference, Vitória Setúbal, you know, we have the Sunderland rule.
Yeah.
That's like your Portuguese Sunderland.
Oh, good to know.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to write that down.
Good to know. Yeah.
Okay, the man is someone I imagine we all know pretty well. He's a pundit now. Clinton Morrison.
Right.
Oh.
Come on, mate. You can do it. Concentrate.
Thanks.
This is interesting.
I don't think I'd be a very good team captain. I'm trying to make you feel supported, but it feels like I'm just making you feel.
I'm struggling with this one actually. 3.
That's
so annoying because I'm pretty sure I can definitely do 3.
I think you can do more than 3. Oh no, sorry. You do what you want to do, but he can definitely do 3, can't he? And you'll
can
lose.
I just say this? If it was anyone else other than Brassel, I would say name you 3,
yeah.
But I'm going to go 4.
Are you sure?
I can't go 5, so go on.
Okay, one
right.
at a time for you.
This for the title or not?
No. This for saying the game, Kate. You're a host. Andy's 2-1 up. So it works.
I may have been writing you off already.
Yeah.
This for Andy Brassel to win the title.
Yeah, that's better. More accurate and more likely. Right.
Come on then, do it.
Birmingham City. Crystal Palace. I think he played for Millwall.
Andy Brassel.
Oh, man.
At least it was on my own terms.
You know what that was like? I used to have this recurring dream when I was a kid about being chased by vampires.
Oh, yeah.
And I could either get got by the vampires or jump over the cliff's edge. You've just jumped over the cliff's edge.
Yeah, I have there. Yeah. On my own terms.
Did you have a third? What would have been your third?
Exeter.
Oh, very nice. I didn't know you played for them.
He did play for them. 45 appearances. All right, the list is... Starting out in 98 at Crystal Palace. Birmingham City. More Crystal Palace action after that. Coventry City. Sheffield Wednesday. MK Dons on loan. Brentford on loan. Colchester United. Long Eaton United is a non-professional club, so that wouldn't have counted. And then Exeter City.
Joe, you know, if we had gone down to the real wire here, Andy wouldn't have been able to bring himself to say the club MK Dons. So I would have won.
That is actually
what's the final player?
Quite tasty. The last two, by the way, of his clubs were both non-professional, so neither of those would have counted. Redditch United and Mikulova Sports.
Oh, nice.
Do you want to do the last one?
Yeah, do it quick.
Yeah, make it a 5-goal thriller.
Yeah.
The last one, and you
I'm
bid,
first, yeah.
Is 6 clubs for Jonathan Woodgate.
Okay, let's do this quick. I can do 4.
Great. How many can you do, Brass?
I'll say 5. I haven't counted yet, but I'll say 5.
Do 6, Luke.
I might as well just try to go for 6.
Come on.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Middlesbrough.
Nice.
Leeds. Spurs. Real Madrid.
Very good.
And this is where it gets tough.
It does.
Newcastle.
Yep.
Mm.
And I need one more, do I? To name all 6.
Yeah, you
And
do.
To
That's
get the
so
title
good.
On a technicality.
Oh.
it'll be on loan somewhere, won't it? Do you know what? I'm just going to guess at fucking
anywhere.
Northampton Town again.
It's nothing. It's one of the key factors of playing in English football.
Sunderland.
Wet and windy night in.
Ah, Stoke. Of course, he played for Stoke. Oh. Never mind, 5 out of 6 ain't bad.
Hey,
well played, Brassel.
Congratulations, Andy Brassel. Once again, you've sent all cowering in your wake, crying, as Luke Moore now is.
Yeah, I think Carvalho's absolutely killed me there.
Yeah.
Killed me dead.
I would have probably thought maybe we should try and wait it. No, because it's the algorithm, isn't it?
The algorithm's chucked up at random. It's chucked up at random. What are you going to do? Next time I'm playing, it might be 5 Pompey players, although I fucking doubt it. I absolutely doubt it.
Well, they're only just behind Sunderland in the loose game clause, so really any 5 players.
That period of time would be very difficult even for me, so I guess.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Just normal, Brass. Yeah, this is just how you always feel, isn't it? Like a winner. Well, it started so beautifully. I hope you two can still be friends.
Oh, yeah, we'll still remain football podcasting's most celebrated married couple. Absolutely.
Tor and Loki.
Exactly.
Well, congratulations on that. And the listeners send their congratulations, I'd imagine. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, and join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.